Dr. Dokumet, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Judge, for inviting me. I'm glad to be here.
Certainly. You conducted this study through the prism of social ecology. What does that mean, and why did you choose that approach in trying to answer some of the questions posed in this study?
Well, sometimes we frame things from an individual level, and that lends itself to blaming the victim or thinking that people are responsible for solving everything. But social ecology actually makes you see things in a broader perspective. There is the person itself, herself, himself, then the community. There is also the organizational level at the clinic, and there is a bigger policy level and cultural level in which we live.
And the groups of people you looked at, again through the prism of social ecology, were African American, Amish, Appalachian, and Latina women. What questions were you trying to answer?
Well, we knew these groups are typically underserved, and the literature says so, except for the Amish, where literature is very scarce. And we wanted to know what the problems they faced for accessing breast and cervical cancer screening were from their own point of view, not what we say, not what the providers say only, but what the women say. And then we wanted to contrast this with what the providers thought, so to see if there were points of coincidence or points of divergence.
And so you conducted a series of focus groups, and you found that almost everyone except for the Amish women had insurance, and still cost and access were issues for all the groups. What did they say about that?
Well, it was different for each group. Appalachian and African-American were more often insured, but the issues were different for them. African-Americans had trouble getting services in their communities, and sometimes the doctors in their community didn't take medical assistance, which was the insurance they often had. So they said they were treated as second-class citizens. For the Appalachian women, what happens is that sometimes there are no providers and they have to go across state lines the insurance doesn't cover, and also that the providers that they have in their areas tend to be people who are in a transitory way there. They are there for a few months or a couple of years, and they do not know the culture of the area. The Latinas had insurance, but only like 50% of our participants had insurance. So that was a cost was a big problem for them in that sense, and language was also a problem. So, and the Amish don't have insurance because our participants mentioned that they don't believe in that.
Right, right. And when you talk about some of the complications, even scheduling appointments becomes an issue for some of these women. Transportation. What other kinds of basic things did you find that for so many people in the United States would be easy, but not for these women?
Well, for example, in the case of the Latina women, for them it was very difficult to schedule an appointment. They said, well, you have to do all these things. You have to call in English and talk to somebody, and this somebody doesn't want to talk to you sometimes, and you have to explain, and you have to make an appointment ahead of time. And somebody else mentioned, and this is related to cost. That is difficult, but the most missing work is not that difficult. The difficult part is when you get your check without all those hours. So scheduling was difficult, and also making the time to go for screening was difficult.
And you also, through the focus groups, identified that, and you mentioned it a moment ago, that communications with providers could be a challenge. In what ways?
Well, in different ways. Well, for the Latinas specifically, for those who didn't speak English, having Spanish providers or bilingual providers or interpreters was important. But for women in general, often providers talk to them in technical terms that they don't understand or don't care to explain. At least this is what the women perceive. The participants perceive that sometimes the providers think they won't understand. They think I'm not good enough to understand, so they don't tell me.
And it's interesting, in the survey you did of the providers themselves, they, by and large, did not view communications as a big problem.
Yeah, they thought it was a problem, but not the top one.
Mm-hmm.
And that was interesting also that they thought that training in cultural competence was not all that important. And we didn't have the insights of all those providers. It was a survey, so we couldn't ask them again. We did have 12 in-depth interviews with some providers that indicated they were willing to do this. However, those providers were the most concerned and the more aware of this issue, so they are not really a fair comparison.
What else did you learn from the providers that struck you?
Well, from the ones we did interview, we learned that there are many providers out there that are making all the efforts they can to be sensitive to women, but also that they are not able to control everything. For example, they think that many women cannot go because of the timing. The clinics are open.
Mm-hmm.
And that is true. The women said that too. However, it's not up to the individual doctor or nurse to open a clinic later. That is an organizational. And that goes back to the social ecology. It's not just the provider who is responsible for this, but there is the organization that could facilitate making it easier for women who work and have a hectic life to attend screening.
And then under the category of what could be done differently, many of the women said that something that would be helpful to them would be first-person narratives from people they knew. Why?
They all want this, and this is interesting because I've encountered this before. They want to know something personal, not in a professional speech. They are not interested in hearing the percentage of women who get sick or who get cured. They want to know from somebody's personal story that somehow rings more true for people, even though it's just statistically we would say it's not real. I've seen this before in Latin America with women who were in a breastfeeding promotion program. They preferred explanations that were personal. So the doctors learned to say, to illustrate with personal stories, and that probably is something that could be done.
What other recommendations or suggestions did the women have to make it easier for them to access this kind of care earlier on?
Well, there are several things. Of course, the cost and access, transportation, especially in the rural areas and for African-American communities in the inner city, appear to be very important. But also ways of payment, for example, for the Amish, they don't want to receive free care. They want to pay, but they want to pay with a jar of preserves or with $5. So these token payments could be accepted. So far, the state does not accept any payment for, or there is paid or unpaid services.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one change. Also, one African-American woman suggested to go in groups to visit, to go several women at the same time to the doctor and one by one into the exam room. And when we asked again, all the women in the African-American and Latino groups, participants wanted this. They wanted to go in groups. They thought it was going to be fun and less intimidating if they were together with other women they knew.
A support group.
Support group, but yeah, instead of scheduling one woman separated for an appointment, you would schedule four, and they all go and they wait, they take the afternoon or the morning, and then they are all together there. So they mentioned that if I forget to ask a question,
mm-hmm.
then my sister can go and ask the question next.
Dr. Document, let me ask you a final question, and that is, what do you want policymakers, but I guess more specifically providers, to take from this study, to learn from it?
I think that, well, actually, not only providers, policymakers as well, they should learn that there are specific things that you can learn from community people, from their insights, and those are, you can learn as a provider to be more sensitive and to cater to your different populations, but also the organizations and the policies, like state or federal policies, could try to tailor themselves to help underserved population access the system. It is very easy to say, well, these people are underserved because they are poor, but we don't do anything like open our clinics later. And that's something that, or allowing the Amish to pay in preserves, that would be delicious, actually.
So to, so for them to be more culturally sensitive.
Yes, but it is not enough if the doctor is culturally sensitive. You need to go further. Well, within the clinical level, it's important that the receptionist is culturally sensitive as well, because that's the first person people talk to. And then that the organization itself takes as an important goal to be sensitive to underserved communities, because they do want to do the right thing and get screened. They all want their health. And there is a lot of social responsibility among these women, at least our participants, that they want themselves to be screened. They want their sisters to be screened. That was very salient in the African-American community. So if this is facilitated, they would do it.
Okay.
Probably more likely.
Thank you so much, Dr. Document. I appreciate it. Interesting findings.
Thank you. Thank you, Jackie, for inviting me.